Perhaps there's a question in your mind, a concern. Maybe you're yearning for something. As you walk, the path before you turns to the right and then curves gently onward. It continues, sometimes nearly doubling back on itself. You simply follow. You follow the path, moving at your own pace as it unfolds before you. And now you turn and you step into a wider space, a space that invites you to rest, to breathe. You sense that here in this space, you can relinquish your cares or perhaps let go of that question or concern. And so you rest and you breathe. Perhaps you stretch your arms to the sky. Maybe you speak out loud your heart's desire. And when you step back onto the path, returning along those same curves, your mind opens to new wisdom, a deeper peace, or perhaps flashes of insight. Welcome to the labyrinth, an ancient symbol and modern metaphor for the human quest for meaning. Welcome to this purposeful path that spirals us deep into our own center and returns us to the world renewed. Navigated on foot or traced with a finger, labyrinths are transformational tools for meditation, prayer, ritual, relaxation. Labyrinths have existed on nearly every continent across the globe and in many different cultures for thousands of years. I met my first labyrinth about 30 years ago when I was serving a Unitarian Universalist congregation in Washington State. My best friend had heard that the Reverend Dr. Lauren Artress of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco was bringing a large labyrinth painted on canvas to a Seattle church. And my friend said, let's go walk it. Lauren Artress was spearheading a labyrinth revolution back then, bringing this ancient symbol into contemporary use. Walking the labyrinth that evening touched me more deeply than any other meditative form I'd tried. Up until that point, I'd been kind of a dabbler, tried a little sitting meditation over here and a little yoga over there, but I hadn't found any spiritual practice that clicked. But in that candlelit cathedral, my mind quieted and my heart opened. The rhythm of my steps, the act of turning, meandering, and even feeling a little lost at times was a perfect metaphor for my life. All I had to do was keep putting one foot in front of the other, and the path led me into the labyrinth center and back to the entrance. The process of entering, reflective walking, and then being birthed back into the world felt organic and human, universal and transformational. The labyrinth I walked that night was the two most common forms, the medieval labyrinth. You should have in your hands a labyrinth handout. And if you look at the cover of it, you'll see that labyrinth here in the middle. You'll also see that labyrinth to my right, right up here. This labyrinth is patterned after one created in the 11th century at the Chartres Cathedral in France. Many such labyrinths were installed on the floors of the sanctuaries of cathedrals during the High Middle Ages to be a safe place of pilgrimage for Christians during the Middle Ages, the Crusades of the Middle Ages. The other symbol on the cover of your handout is a classical labyrinth, and that one is right in front of me here on the pulpit. This labyrinth pattern is at least 4,000 years old. It's been found on ancient manuscripts, carved into stone walls or rocks on many continents, engraved on coins in ancient Greece, and woven into the baskets of the Native American Tohono O'odham people who live in present-day Arizona. Their version of that labyrinth is here. It's called the Man in the Maze. This labyrinth has also been found in India and it's been discovered laid out in stones on the shores of Scandinavia and Europe. So if these labyrinths look like mazes to you, you're not alone. People often confuse labyrinths and mazes. So here's the difference. In a maze, we run into dead ends and multi-path intersections where we have to make choices. A maze is a puzzle for our left brain. In a labyrinth, we follow just one path. Confident that we're going the right way, we're freed up to have a calming right brain experience. It's really pretty marvelous. But you might be wondering, why would anybody want to do such a thing? Well, some of us probably wouldn't. I will never forget what Wilma Harkins, a longtime member of my first congregation, said when she heard we were putting a labyrinth on the church grounds. She said, "Suzel, I can't understand why all those people want to walk in circles." She had a good point, right? But I laughed because I was one of those circle walkers. I couldn't convince Wilma to try it, though. Given that people have been using labyrinths for thousands of years, where exactly did the labyrinth come from? It's actually still something of a mystery. Hermann Kern, an internationally known art historian who studied the archaeological record, believes that the earliest labyrinth probably wasn't a pattern that was drawn out, but it was actually a ritual dance, a pattern of steps and turns passed through the generations through physical teaching. And then one day, somebody made a map of the pattern so that the knowledge would not be lost. Hermann Kern's research and that of other scholars has also revealed that the classical labyrinth, this one, the 4,000-year-old one, emerged in human consciousness on several different continents at the same time, at exactly the same time, or about the same time. I also find it interesting that the stone labyrinths found on the shores around the Baltic Sea are believed to have been walked by medieval fishermen before setting out in their boats to ensure that they would have good winds and a good catch of fish. There are turf labyrinths in England that were used for courtship rituals in olden days. And in India, it is said that the labyrinth was traced in powdered herbs on a bronze plate. And then those herbs were dissolved in water and given to a woman laboring to give birth to help guide the baby forth from the labyrinth of her body. What I know from my walks in the labyrinth and what I hear from other people is that the labyrinth often presents us with symbols and metaphors that help us understand our lives in new ways. So, a story. Some years ago, Sally Quinn, who was a columnist for the Washington Post, wrote about a labyrinth that she visited one sunny afternoon in California. As she walked that labyrinth, a light breeze whispered through the live oak trees that surrounded it. Sally wrote, "I began concentrating on my son Quinn, who had severe learning disabilities. What would become of him? We had had a particularly difficult year, and I was close to despair. I entered the labyrinth and began to make my way slowly toward the center. Once I got there, I sat down and looked straight ahead. My eyes fell on a huge pine tree in front of me that I hadn't noticed before. It had beautiful spreading boughs, as though it was embracing the circle of the labyrinth. It was one of the prettiest trees I had ever seen, and it was the only pine amid all the live oaks." As she sat in the center of the labyrinth, Sally had a sudden stroke of clarity. The pine tree was her son, Quinn. She wrote, "He was different from all those other trees, but he was so beautiful." I began to cry. How could I not have realized this all along? In that moment in the center of the labyrinth, Sally Quinn's view of her son and indeed of herself was transformed. She wrote, I told my son about my experience in the labyrinth, and because of that, because of the pine and the oaks, he decided to use to make a life using his problem to help other people. And indeed, her son, his name is Quinn Bradley, wrote a book about growing up with learning disabilities. And he created a website back when this was not common, a website to help other young people like himself. I have entered the labyrinth many times over the years with many a life question and many a prayer or meditation for peace or healing. I've also walked the labyrinth with nothing but an open heart. I've walked labyrinths in cities across the United States, Canada, and Costa Rica. And I've walked alone, and I've walked with other people. I've drawn labyrinths in the wet sand of many beaches. And I've even shoveled out the labyrinth path on a frozen lake. Good to do in Wisconsin, not so much this winter. I've explored the science of how the labyrinth works on us, on our human bodies, on our human emotions. And I've created my own labyrinth designs as well. As you can probably tell, I'm a labyrinth nerd. I love the labyrinth. And I love it because, as Lauren Artress says, the labyrinth meets us where we are. Each of us experiences it differently because we each bring our different lives to it. It's a good spiritual practice for those of us who dwell in our heads a lot in the realm of ideas, because it helps us use our bodies as a gateway for spiritual deepening. It's also a good practice, a good spiritual practice for times when we feel lost, times of great challenge or confusion. In our time of climate crisis, I find that walking the labyrinth connects me with love to the living earth beneath my feet. In these times of political division and xenophobia, walking the labyrinth for me is an act of spiritual resistance and spiritual strength building. In our own way, each of us is a seeker after meaning on the path of life. And each of our lives is a sacred journey, a journey of discovery, growth, and transformation. That's why we're bringing you the labyrinth today, and why I hope you'll enjoy the labyrinth activities that Genevieve and I have planned for you today.